Thank you, Jill, for our prelude this morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Again, this is often called the Sunday of Love, and I hope you'll feel the presence of our Lord and Savior in worship today and feel the love that He brings, not just this season, but throughout all seasons. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. You can fill out a visitor's card that's located in the pew in front of you and drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service today. For those that are watching us this morning online on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us online today. I do want to remind you that you can go to our website, www.fbc-elon.org. There, pull up the worship bulletin and use that as a resource for our hour of worship today, but also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. I also want to remind you, if this is your first time joining us online, we're glad that you found us. We're glad that you are joining us online today. Send me an email this week and let me follow up and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. For those that are gathered here today and those watching online, I do want to remind you that our Advent study, Voices of Advent, wraps up this afternoon. It'll be at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall upstairs. You're welcome to join us in person for that study, our final session today, or you can join us online on Facebook Live. Of course, the discussion is always better when you're in the present. So join us this afternoon at 4 o'clock for that. This afternoon, we'll be looking at the voices of the angels and the prophets. As we wrap up that study, I hope also that you've already marked your calendar. I hope you're ready to join us for our Christmas Eve communion and candlelight service that will take place this week on Wednesday evening at 5 p.m. It's a worship service that we all look forward to. We get excited about the anticipation of Advent as we've been preparing and waiting. Now we finally can celebrate the birth of the Christ child. So join us at 5 p.m. on Wednesday for our Christmas Eve service. And I also encourage you to invite your friends and family for that time of service as well. It will be a wonderful time of gathering here in the sanctuary on Wednesday evening. Also, as you saw as you walked down the hallway today, and it'll also be here for the Christmas Eve service, we are in the process of collecting items for our food pantry here at First Baptist Elon. There's a list on your bulletin of things that are needed for the pantry. And one of the reasons why we're doing this collection right now is we are in the process of expanding our pantry. And so over the coming weeks, we'll be moving upstairs and have more opportunities to share and help people out in the community. And we're just kind of supplementing that supply right now. So if you have some opportunity to drop by the grocery store, pick up some items up, you can drop them in the bin that's in the foyer, or you can drop them upstairs in the fellowship hall either today or for Christmas Eve or any of the Sundays coming up during this year and the beginning of next year. I also want to remind you that there's a lot of items to pick up right now for y'all in this season of Advent. First thing you need to pick up is if you haven't been by the fellowship hall, everybody has a box for Christmas cards. I hope you've had an opportunity to pick those Christmas cards up and take them home and enjoy them during this season. So make sure you stop by there after worship today. In the foyer today, there's a couple other items. There are the contribution envelopes for the 2026 calendar year. So make sure you stop by the box and pick up the one that has your name on it. If you don't have one that has a name on it, please let us know and we'll make sure we get that to you for this upcoming year. Also in the foyer, our administrative assistant Janice Summers put together an updated directory. Some of you have already picked them up. Some of you got it by email. There are some hard copies in the foyer, so if you want to pick one of those up and take them home and use those, you're more than welcome to do so. I also want to thank you. Thank you for your donations for the CBF offering for Global Missions that came in last week. I know that some more has already come in this week. We're a little short of our goal right now, but of course, as I told you, we collect this during this entire season, so you're more than welcome to drop that off here at the church in the church office or any time over the next couple weeks. Now, at this time, before we continue our worship time, I want to recognize our Chair of Deacons, Phil Thompson.
Hey, good morning. It is the most wonderful time of the year celebrating our Christ's birth. As we think of the gift that Jesus, the gift of Jesus through our Lord, we think about the gifts that He continually gives us. Each Sunday we have two very dedicated and talented pastors, David and Gay, who lead us in worship. They lead us in worship with enthusiasm, with grace, and with love. That's just the tip of the iceberg of what they do. They care about each and every one of us. They know what's going on. They want to know what's going on in our lives. And they want to help us through the highs and through the lows. So on behalf of the congregation and from your love offerings that you've given over the last couple of weeks, I'd like to present David and Gay with their Christmas love offering. And also, two other folks here that make worship what it is are Mark and Jill. And thank you so much for what you guys do. You really help enhance and use your talents for God's glory. And we've got something from HR and Music for you guys. So if you could give them a hand.
Well, I'll speak on behalf of Gay and myself and Jill and Mark. This hour on Sunday mornings is one of the most special times during the entire week. And we enjoy the time of worship. We enjoy seeing your bright and smiling faces during our worship services, but throughout the whole year. All the things that go on, as we said, Gay and myself, we love you. I mean, and we act out of love. And we feel your love as well. So thank you on behalf of the staff for these gifts. And we look forward to another year of love in 2026. Now may we experience the love of Christ in our worship hour this morning. Into our world, love that took on flesh, love that dwelt among us, love that redeems and restores. Lord, in this sacred season, prepare our hearts to receive Christ again. Remove the distractions that cloud our vision and fill us with the peace that comes from trusting in your promises. May the light of the love candle continue to shine through us, because we know your love is not distant or abstract, but near, personal, and transforming. We pray for those who feel far from love today, the lonely, the grieving, the weary, and the forgotten. May they encounter your presence through our words, through our actions, and our compassion. Let our lives be a reflection of the love that we have first received from you. As we draw near to the celebration of Christ's birth, kindle in us a joy that cannot be contained, a hope that will not fade, and a love that reaches beyond ourselves. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but I just love Christmas music.
It is just something about the words and the carols, and I have to tell you the truth. I've probably been listening to it since about July. and you know, they say Christmas in July. Well, I start listening and figure out what we're going to do, the choir, And since it came on the radio on XM, November 4th, my car has been playing nothing but Christmas music. And you'd think I'd be tired of it by now, but I'm still listening to it. I'd listen to it 24/7 if I could. Let's stand, let's sing the first Noel.
Today we light the candle of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
This is probably the best known verse in the Bible. John 3:16 is flashed in ballparks and memorized in Sunday school classes. Why is it so beloved? Because it tells us about God's love, the reason that the Father sent his Son on Christmas Day. He gave his one and only Son that Christmas morn. Why? Because he loved the world so much, not the physical globe, but the people whom he had created. Struggling, confused, exuberant, depressed, striving, and sinful. He loved them. He loves us. That is why Jesus came. In the way Jesus relates to hurting people, we can see that love, that compassion. His gentle words, "My daughter," to the woman who touched the hem of his garment. His encouragement to Peter, who had betrayed him. "Feed my sheep, Peter. I haven't given up on you." His compassion for the crowds whom he saw as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus came on Christmas morn out of the Father's love. And in spite of the persecution and crucifixion, even a history of saints and sinners inside and out of his church, his love for us is undiminished this Advent season.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for your undeserved love and enveloped us and serves us, that fills us with your Spirit and includes us in momentous plans of your kingdom. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you. It's a lonely place up here without everybody, isn't it? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, you bring us every Sunday, and we're here at Christmas time, and your fulfilled promises are here, and they have been for many years. But each year we just look back and go, wow, you're a God that just continually has blessed us and looks after us. And thank you for this church and those that are in here and those that are listening. Thank you for our pastors that every Sunday has said that they're here serving you and for us to learn. Thank you for loving us. Thanks for the gifts that you give us. And thank you for the ability for us to give back to others and to give to the offering. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for our special music today. And let me say, it is just an honor and a privilege to join with our staff and our accompanists and our worship choir every Sunday morning to worship our Lord and Savior. And as I think I probably have said before, there's always things that are not going to go right the way we planned it. But it's amazing how God can use every single moment of worship to touch lives, to make an impact. And I think that's especially true during this Advent season. The busyness of this season, all the things running through our heads, the things we have to accomplish, the things we have to get done. But then when we gather in His presence, we're reminded of what this season is all about. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the hustle of this season. It's about, it's being reminded that Christ came to be with us and the wonderful gift that that is. That's what this season is all about. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Loving God, as we come to you this morning, we confess that we've not always lived as people expecting your coming kingdom. We've not loved our neighbors as we should have. We've been quick to speak and oftentimes slow to listen. We have made peace with injustice and failed to walk humbly with you. Father, forgive us. Forgive us and turn our hearts again to your way. Teach us to watch, to wait, and to witness your light and love breaking into this world. Through our loving Christ, the one who is coming and has come, we pray this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Again, let me say welcome and thank you for joining us here for this fourth Sunday of Advent. My prayer is that you've already been able to experience the love of Christ in our worship service this morning by the music that has been sung, by the lighting of the Advent wreath, by the prayers, and just the gathering in as the family of Christ. I pray that my words this morning and our sermon will also extend that love as well. Today I will be continuing our sermon series titled Before Bethlehem, as we continue to look at the opening words in the prologue of the Gospel of John. This morning, we will examine verses 10 through 13 and identify Christ as the life giver. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to that passage this morning. Love can be shown in so many different ways during the season of Advent and in the Christmas season. Whether it is giving gifts to our loved ones, making a phone call for someone who we haven't talked to recently, maybe a long-lost friend or family member. Maybe it's adopting a family for Christmas to assist with gifts and other needs, or simply singing Christmas carols to shut-ins and senior folks, as a couple of our groups has done over the last couple weeks. There are so many ways that we can show love and the love of Christ this season. I want to share one of those examples that occurred and happened to me this past week. One day this week, I was, as before I came into the office, I had to get a couple errands run, and I went out and got other errands run in the midst of the crowds that were everywhere, and I decided I'm going to go swing through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru to pick up some food before I came to work. And so I did, and as you know, if you've been to Chick-fil-A any recently, there's two lines. You have to choose which line to choose. And I always find it like a game, like which line is going faster. And so I got into a line, and sure enough, I picked the slowest line I've ever been in. And so I sat there, and I was thinking, why is it going so slow? Chick-fil-A is usually really fast. Why is it going so slow? And so I was waiting, and I was waiting, and I mean, the cars on the other line were just zooming by me. I was like, what's going on? Did somebody make a big order? That's okay. Well, when I got up to place my order take back to church, and I started to reach for my credit card to pay for my meal, the attendant, the helper there at Chick-fil-A said, the person in front of you has already paid for your meal. And I was like, well, that's wow. That made me feel bad about the being frustrated about how slow it was going because they had to take my order. They had to walk back up to the gentleman who then scanned his credit card and paid for my meal. And as he did, and as they finished up, I kind of waved and I said, thank you, I'm out, thank you, to the gentleman. I told the attendant to let him know as well. And so as he came back, he said, I just wanted to make sure he got all covered. And I said, well, thank you. I said, I want to do the same for the person behind me. You know, I've heard these stories about how this will go on for hours and hours and hours. And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to pay it forward too. This gentleman did for me, and so there was a lady behind me. I said, I'm going to pay it forward for her as well. So I did, and I told her I was going to do this. And the attendant said, well, thank you. I just want to know, this has been going on for about 30 minutes. Everybody in my line, the slow line, got their food paid for by the person in front of them, and I paid for the person behind me. Now, I don't know how it ended. I don't know if the lady behind me was the end of the line of this thing, but what I do know is this. I was stressed out on that day because of all the things that we have to get done for Christmas. It's a very stressful time for ministers, and my mind was rushing, and I already dealt with the crowds, and the last thing that I wanted to deal with was something different and distracting, like a slow Chick-fil-A line. But it changed my attitude for the rest of the day. It was like it was a lift. It was love shown. A simple act of love that some will overlook, but it stopped me, and it reminded me of the love that this season is all about. You know, in our passage this morning, we're reading just a moment, we see different kinds of reactions to the gift of love that was Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage you this season, this hour, and the hours that come, I want you to see opportunities the way Christ's love has been shown to you or is being shown to you. And then I challenge you this to go next step, to show that same love. It could be something as simple as paying for the $2.73 it cost me for the woman's meal behind me. It could be something as simple as dropping off a card for someone who maybe you didn't put a Christmas card in the mail for this year. It could be simply as smiling at the person in the grocery store as you're going down the aisle, and they're struggling with the busyness of the season and smiling with them and telling them you hope they have a Merry Christmas. So many simple ways, so many reactions that we can have for this season and for the love of Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, as we're going to read in Scripture today, the reactions aren't always positive. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to John chapter 1, the opening prologue. This is what we've been journeying in this sermon series before Bethlehem, and we've been talking about the opening prologue and how John does this mystical view and the view that Jesus was before Bethlehem. This morning, reading verses 10 through 13, picking up where we left off last week. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born out of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. As we continue our sermon series before Bethlehem, drawn from those opening verses from the prologue in John, may we not forget the lessons that we've already learned in this series. The first lesson being, we learned how Jesus had his birth in Bethlehem, but not his beginning because he has always been. Last week, we celebrated how Jesus brings life into deadness and light into our darkness. Today, our main idea could be summed up simple as this. When you receive and believe in Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. Let's walk through those verses this morning. First, the first thing we see in this passage is Jesus is not recognized by most, as said in verse 10. And verse 10 may be one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. We see that Jesus is not recognized by most. The majority of people simply ignore the incarnation of Emmanuel, not recognizing that he was in the world. As we learned in verse 3, Jesus created the world, and yet the world just seems to, they simply yawned. When the Creator descended and came into our world, His creation was not captivated. The King James Version records it as this: the world knew Him not. To know means to apprehend, to recognize, or to know relationally. Too quickly, the people had forgotten the words of the prophet, like Isaiah in chapter 1, as he echoed God's words. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. A pastor was sitting at McDonald's during the Christmas season, enjoying his coffee and polishing up the final words of the Christmas Eve sermon. Over the loudspeakers, the Christmas carol "Joy to the World" came on, and he just felt like this was God speaking to him. What a wonderful time to hear this uplifting sacred carol in the busyness of the season. However, about 10 feet away, in a booth, and he could not see the individual sitting in this booth, but he heard these words echo: "This whole Christmas thing is just a bah humbug to me." For many, the coming of Jesus is just background noise. There was no joy about Jesus coming into the world by the individual sitting in the restaurant booth that day. For some, like the individuals in the Chick-fil-A line this week, there was love, and that love was shown through joy. For others, however, it's just background noise. There has always been a great divide among people. When Jesus came the first time, Herod hated him, the scribes ignored him, and there was no room for him in the inn. Only the shepherds and the wise men, the poor, the foreigners, the meek, and the marginalized welcomed him to earth. Not much has changed as we see the birth of Jesus slipping from our culture's discourse. He came to the world, and the world did not know him. In 1932, Robert McKenzie attended a Christmas Eve service in New York City, and then after the service headed back to his one-room apartment. As he walked the final blocks, he passed the open doors to private clubs where people were partying. They did not seem to have a clue that it was Christmas Eve, and if they did, they did not seem to care at all. As he stepped over people who had passed out on the sidewalk, he thought to himself, what a strange way to celebrate the birth of the most perfect person and God who ever lived on this earth. People are missing the whole significance of his life. So when he arrived home, he scribbled some words on the back of an envelope. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind, we couldn't see. We didn't know who you were. These lyrics to Sweet Little Jesus Boy has been sung by so many through the decades, sung by thousands during this Advent and Christmas season, and most notably here at First Baptist Elon by the late Susie Lauder, who sang it pretty much every Advent season. But listen to those words. We didn't know who you were. Have you been caught up in the busyness this season? Have you ignored how maybe Jesus is speaking to you this year? Remember, when you receive and believe in Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. The second thing we see in this passage, the second verse that we see, is that Jesus is rejected by his own. If verse 10 is sad, verse 11 is just sorrowful. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Not only did the planet not apprehend the light as a principle, but it was God's people did not receive him as a person. The word came captures the essence of Christmas. Jesus came to earth to his own people. The word came is significant when we understand what Christmas is all about. But yet, Jesus came to his own people and they rejected him and even killed him. In the King James Version, it says like this, his own received him not. Now let's consider some of those phrases for a second as we look at this second verse. First, his own people. In short, God's people are the Jewish people according to Deuteronomy chapter 7. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Now, the word receive is full of meaning as well. It means to receive with favor, to welcome into one's home. It also has this idea of accepting and taking with it. In Matthew 17:1, we see the same Greek term describing Jesus' relationship with Peter, James, and John. Now, while many are not interested in Jesus, others are incensed by him, and others reject him. They find him to be literally repugnant. This is echoed in Isaiah's words in chapter 53. Jesus came to the people who should have known him best, but they wanted nothing to do with him. The idiom came to his own means to come home. Jesus came home to his own people who lived in the land promised to them, and they would not take him in. Frankly, many do not believe in God because they do not want anyone telling them what to do. It's inconvenient. While some seem to be sincere seekers of Christ, the Bible says most are looking to be rid of him. As we've witnessed over the past 2 weeks, the news of violence, of horror, and of shame, we should not be surprised that Jesus is still rejected today. But remember, when you receive and believe in Christ, you become a child of God. That brings us to our third point this morning, verse 12. Jesus, however, was received by some. While the world did not recognize him and his own people rejected him, there has always been some who will receive him. Verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The word but introduces a contrast from those who do recognize Christ and from those who reject him. The word all, however, reminds us that Jesus came for everyone. He came for the ones that accept him, and he also came for the ones who reject him as well. It does not matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it, you can still receive Jesus. No one is too far gone or too far away. The word believe is actually quite rich here because many years ago, Bible translators in the New Hebrides Islands were struggling to find an appropriate word translation for this word believe. So they came upon a solution accidentally while hunting with a tribesman. After bagging a large deer and carrying it along on a pole along a steep mountain path, they finally returned home and they plopped in some porch chairs that were right in front of them. And as they did, the native exclaimed in his own language, "My, it is good to stretch yourself out here and rest." The translator immediately wrote down that phrase, which ended up to be their translation in John 3:16, the words that were read this morning. This is how it was translated in their Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever stretches himself out on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When we lean on the Lord, when we stretch out on him, he gives us life. He gives us the energy and the strength to get up and do. Stretch out on the Savior and find satisfaction for your soul. And salvation is more than just saying yes to Jesus. We must yield ourselves fully to Him by leaning on Him totally. Let's use this chair as an example. I know, knowledge-wise, that this chair, the way it's built, the way it's structured, and my experience with it, that it will hold me when I sit down. Everybody agree? Do you agree that chair will hold me when I sit down? I know it in my head, but it's not until I walk over and I experience it. It's not until I take the faith step to literally sit down that I know what it does. The same is true for Jesus Christ. We can know it. We can read it in the Bibles. We can listen to sermons, every sermon I preach or other sermons preach. We can listen to it and we think we've got it up here. But until we're willing to sit down, until we're willing to stretch out on Jesus, we're not truly living in faith. We're just following and accepting the words. So salvation is more than just knowing it. It's more than just knowing that Jesus came. It's experiencing it. It's a wholehearted devotion. With our youth group, we used to do trust falls. We would have one person stand and a person to fall down. And I thought about doing that this morning, and then I looked at everybody. And I was like, I'm not doing that with this group. But anyway, you would always have that one or that two in the group that would, they would hesitate. They didn't want to make that leaning and falling take place. You'd see them take a couple steps back, and it became awkward, and everybody would laugh. But that's the essence of faith. That's the essence of understanding who Jesus is and what Jesus does for us. We have to be willing to trust fall into Jesus' arms, because if we don't, we truly don't trust Him. We truly don't know Him. We truly don't have the faith. But when we do, when you do, all of a sudden, there's new life. There's a support and a love that we've never, ever experienced before. You know, we're called to believe in Jesus, to believe in His name. And if you notice in the scripture passage, that's in the present tense. It's not something in the past. It's not about something in the future. It is now, right now, this moment, this second, of this minute, of this hour, of this day, of this year, of the rest of your life. It's present tense. Do you feel the love of Christ? Do you trust Him to the point you're willing to fall in His arms? And I'm saying falling over and over and over again, because we'll fall maybe, but then we kind of get a little not so sure about it again. But when we are willing to fall in His arms, we know it's present. You see, being born into faith or being born into a family is not a guarantee of our salvation. We have to accept it for ourselves. And when we do, when we're willing to take that step, when we're willing to fall, we become children of God. When Martin Luther was translating the Bible into German, the printer, when as he was doing this and he sent it off to be printed in the printing press, the printer carelessly allowed sections to fall on the floor of the shop in which he was working on. One day, the printer's daughter came in and picked up a piece of paper that was on the floor, which she found these words: God so loved the world that He gave. It stopped there. That's all it said. God so loved the world that He gave. This little girl treasured these words because she had been told that God was to be feared and could only be approached through acts of penance. So as she repeated these words over and over again, all of a sudden she had a change in her mindset and her countenance. She was all of a sudden full of joy, and she really didn't understand it, didn't recognize it. However, when she got home, her mother recognized it. And her mother said, "Hey, what's going on? What's going on?" So the little girl pulled the piece of paper she had crumpled into her pocket and handed it to her mother. The mom read it and was a little perplexed because she said, well, he gave. What was it that he gave? For a moment, the girl hesitated and then, with a big smile on her face, replied, I don't know, but if he loved us well enough to give us anything, we need not be afraid of him. We need not be afraid of God. We need to love him and be in a relationship with him. And remember, when we do, when you receive and believe in Christ, you become a child of God. Finally, in our passage this morning, in verse 4, we can see that we can be regenerated by God. Verse 13 makes it clear that salvation does not run automatically from one generation to another. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In the words of Charles Spurgeon, you will never go to heaven in a crowd. We're not saved by our heritage, who we're related to. We're not saved by our holiness, not following a list of rules and regulations. We are not saved by our hard work. We do not become Christians by human effort. Theologian Paul Washer writes it this way, the only thing I have contributed to my salvation is my sin. Jesus used the same birth metaphor when talking with Nicodemus. Nicodemus had a stellar spiritual resume, impressive heredity, overwhelming holiness, and an extremely hard worker, yet he had a hole in his soul, so he came to Jesus. He recognized it, he saw it, and Jesus tells him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Nicodemus accepted, and we're told that he was at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified. When you receive and believe in Christ Jesus, you become a child of God. In closing this morning, just one final story. A children's Sunday school class performed an unforgettable Christmas pageant one year. As Mary and Joseph made their way slowly up to the inn, Joseph knocked on the door. Wally, who was playing the innkeeper, came to the door and bellowed, "Who's there?" Joseph softly said, "I'm looking for shelter for me and my wife." Wally opened the door and said, "You'll have to look elsewhere. There is no room in the inn for you." Joseph tried another approach, "But you don't understand. We have traveled so far. My wife is great with child, and she needs to rest." At that point, Wally just stood silently, looking intently and staring at Mary. During this long pause, of course, the audience became restless and a little embarrassed for Wally because they thought he had forgotten his line. The prompter off stage whispered loudly, "Wally, say no, be gone. Say no, be gone." Finally, Wally looked at the young couple, took a deep breath, and said, "No, be gone." So Joseph put his arm around Mary as she put her head on his shoulder, and they shuffled off. Now, at this point, Wally, the innkeeper, was supposed to shut the door and go back inside the inn, but Wally did not do that. He just stood there and watched the forlorn couple walk away. But then the pageant took an unexpected turn. Wally's mouth dropped open. His brow creased and eyes began to fill with tears as he blurted out, "Joseph, wait a minute. Come back. Bring Mary with you." A smile beamed across Wally's face as he blurted out, "You can have my room." The actors playing Mary and Joseph did not know what to do, and the audience became anxious. You see, Wally had ruined the whole storyline of the birth of Jesus. How can there be Christmas without a stable? The quick-thinking Joseph saved the program by replying, oh no, the barn will be just fine, really. The Savior is still looking for space today. Will you open the door of life and give room to Him? Remember, when you receive and believe in Christ, you become a child of God. of God. Christ, the life giver, wants you to be a part of His family. How will you show the love of Christ this Advent season? Opening the door to Him for the first time? Opening the door to someone else who needs room in your inn? Paying for a meal? Embracing your neighbor? Dropping off a card? Making a phone call? What will you do this season? Because if we believe in Christ, the life giver, we breathe out that life in the actions that we take. But it begins by opening the door of your heart to Him. Let's pray. Father, I am thankful. I am thankful for simple acts of love that can change mindsets and can change days and approaches, but I am more thankful for the greatest gift that has ever been given, that was Jesus the Christ. You coming to earth, showing what true life is, and giving that as an opportunity to absolutely everyone is beyond human thought. But you did. And I'm thankful that I and each and every one of us here can embrace you and love you and accept you. And opening our doors to you, all of a sudden we have the opportunity to open the doors to so many others. Thank you for being present in our lives. Amen. As we come to sing our closing hymn today, maybe today for the very first time, you're ready to open the door of your heart to Him. I'll be down front. Let me embrace you as a brother in Christ, and let me share being a part of what being part of Christ's family is all about. Maybe you're looking for just a church home that seeks just to honor God through our actions. Sometimes big actions, sometimes small actions, but in all, it's acts of love. First Baptist can be that home for you. Come and I'll share and welcome you into our family. Or maybe you're just struggling. Maybe this season, even in the acts of love and life that have been shown towards you by others, it's just not hitting. It's just not getting to your soul as it should. Maybe you're struggling. Come down to the front. The altar is always open. A deacon will pray with you. I'll pray with you. If you're struggling with that, because we want to walk away this day recognizing that Christ is the true life giver. Whatever decision you need to make today, make it today. Let's stand and sing.
Be born.
as we go out into a world that needs to see the life that Jesus Christ gives, may you be that beacon of light today and every day. I hope we'll see you this afternoon at 4 o'clock for our Bible study. I really hope we'll see you Wednesday night for our Christmas Eve candlelight and communion service. Come, enjoy, and celebrate the birth of the Christ child. Let us go in peace.